Got a subject that maybe you haven't thought much about. Maybe you'll never want to think about it after I get done today. And I reserve the right for next Sunday, an hour for Pete to on the rebuttal of the whole thing. Does the Holy Spirit himself, he himself, deity, live in us full time? That is, take residence in the believer. Got that? I guess you can't read it. I surely couldn't. Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S, uppercase letters. This means he himself, deity. Small h, small s, Holy Spirit, lowercase letter. This here is gifts or power from the Holy Spirit, segregated. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, H and S, big letters, that's he himself. This is power, our gifts, either one, from him. Can't see it here. Greek word pneuma, English word equals spirit. Pneuma, hagon, if that's pronounced right, Holy Spirit. Those are the main ones we're going to speak on this morning. And we'll see what we can do with them. Most Christians believe that the Holy Spirit, he himself, dwells in the heart of a believer. It is not my goal or desire, contrary to what Pete will say in a minute, to sway your belief on this subject in one way or another, but only to provoke you into studying for yourself. What does the Scriptures tell us on this subject? Naturally, today we can only accomplish is set forth several ideas from the Scripture to show us at least there is a possibility that the traditional belief on this subject may not be completely accurate. Everyone here knows to understand all Scripture correctly, the original Hebrew and Greek words must be considered. I will mention here and now the King James translation. Translation is not very helpful on this subject. When we read of the Holy Spirit with uppercase letters here in the English translations, we are reading an interpretation of the text, not a translation. That is to say, when the translators put the capital H and the capital S for Holy Spirit, they are not translating the original text, they are interpreting it. The same is true when the translators put the small h and the small s for Holy Spirit. It is true both ways. Why do I make this comment? Because the Greek rarely capitalizes proper names, not even the names of God. Therefore, we have the responsibility of studying the passages that have to do with the Holy Spirit and decide, with his help, when he is meant and when it is not. Can you think of any reason why anyone would question whether the Holy Spirit, he himself, dwells, lives in the heart of man? Can you think of any? Well, in case you couldn't, I drummed up a couple. I have a few. If you will, we're going to do a lot of turning today. Turn to page 726. That's Psalms 5:4. Psalms, 5th chapter, and 4th verse. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. We know that basically man is sinful and wicked, and God cannot dwell with evil, it says here. Now, if you will, turn to Romans. I'm going to run you all through the Bible today. Page 1676, Romans, the 7th chapter and 17th verse through 20. Page 1676. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, sin is living in me, he says. He says, I have a sinful nature. So I have a question. Deal or no deal? That's the question here. Can the Holy Spirit himself live in Paul? We just read here, God cannot dwell with evil. Okay, another reason that a person might question whether the Holy Spirit, he himself, dwells in the heart of man. Turn to Isaiah 48th chapter. It's page 992. 992. Isaiah 48, the 16th verse. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Well, here we know Isaiah was a prophet of God, and it is clear that he was anointed with power from the Holy Spirit. However, in this passage, he tells us he has been sent by God with the Holy Spirit to preach God's message. Well, that implies here that the Holy Spirit is accompanying him, not in him. Also, if the Holy Spirit was in Isaiah, then it would not have been necessary for the Holy Spirit here to accompany him. Now, there's plenty more. You can look at some of those when you get home. Another reason that a person might question whether the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of man is in Ephesians, 4th chapter and 24th verse, page 1767. Page 1767, Ephesians 4, 24. Ephesians 4, 24. I might, page 1666. I guess it is on 7, when you get to 20, it'll be over there. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, you notice here, we're putting on the new man, or a new self, or a new nature, created to be like God, if the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of believers. Why is it necessary for us to put on a new self? Surely nothing else is required if the Holy Spirit, he himself, were indwelling in the believer. Before we can study today's subject properly, we must get a clear understanding of the Greek word pneuma up here, spirit, and the Greek words Holy Spirit here, pneuma hagon. Turn to the back of your Bible to appendix number 101, and it's page 146. Clear in the back of your Bible. And once you get it, kind of put your finger in there to hold that part. We're going to leave it, and then we're going to come right back to it. 101 is the appendix on page 146. And if you look down to the bottom of the page, you see Roman numeral number 2. The usage of pneuma, or spirit, here. Now, if you flip it over there to 5, number 5 here, this item there will give us the biggest key to understand if the Holy Spirit himself lives or dwells inside the believer. One usage here in that Greek language of this important word, right here in number 5, refers here to the new nature in a child of God as begotten by God. Now, You might want to keep your finger there if you can, but I want to go to John 3, third chapter, verse 15, page 1518. John 3, book, page 1518. It tells us more about the new nature. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Key verse here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here we see here that is referring to our spirit, which now has a new nature. And it comes when we accept Christ as our Savior. Now I want to go to look back to where we were, if you were, on 101, page 146. If you kept the thing here, I'll find mine. I want to drop down to number 14. Here we're going to see the Holy Spirit mentioned here. And it will tell you here that the Holy Spirit, I'll read it here, in small letters, as I got up here on the board, without the article, the Holy Spirit, without the article, is never, ever used of the giver, which is the Holy Spirit. When you see here the H, small h and small s, that's the lowercase letters, that means just gifts or powers from the Holy Spirit here. Now, it is always referring to the gift from the Holy Spirit himself. Now, keep in mind there's many different gifts that can be received from the Holy Spirit. So that's pretty simple, isn't it? We're going to be able to look through the scripture, and we see when we see Holy Spirit, we know now that he's talking about God himself, dwelling, he himself. When we see the little h and the little s here, that's going to be pretty simple. Here's the kicker. 52 times the King James Version wrongly interpreted the usage of Holy Spirit, pneuma, hagion, small letters, and inserted the article the, and then capitalized the H and S, which make you think the Holy Spirit himself, instead of the gifts from him, they switched it around. That's horrible. That's rotten. That's misleading. Let's go on. As we start our lesson this morning, I won't want to have any misunderstanding. There is a question. There is no question in anyone's mind. The Holy Spirit can guide us in our walk with God each and every day of our life. The subject we are considering this morning, does he live here in the individual? Or does he among believers and communicates with our spirit and shed his love upon us and teach us and lead us? And this is accomplished by the gift from the Holy Spirit, the new nature, our spirit, and it came from the Holy Spirit. Now this morning, I'm going to go real quickly here. We will take a few minutes and just observe some of the actions of the Holy Spirit, both in the New and the Old Testament. You can't turn to them. Genesis, it takes too long. That was part of my 2 hours. Genesis 1, Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of earth. Job, the Holy Spirit, he created man. Psalms 43, the Holy Spirit leads in the lives of believers. Zechariah 7:12, the Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets. Isaiah 63, the Holy Spirit gives rest to God's people. There are lots more of them. But I want to go to the New Testament, and we will see many of the same characteristics described in the Old Testament repeated in the New Testament. John 3:6, in the Old Testament, Spirit we see involved in the creation of the world, but in the New Testament, we see the Spirit was involved in creating the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Mark 13:11, Holy Spirit speaks through God's servants. John 14:26, the Holy Spirit is a counselor. John 16, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Romans 8:16, Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. Romans 8:26, Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now we're going to start looking up some of them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, page 1700, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now the key to this verse is the Greek preposition here, in, which is translated in your Bible here, in, I-N. You see that there in the last there? And it should read, among. Got that? Now, with this translation in mind, let's read that. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth among you? Now, can you keep that in your mind for just a minute? Don't forget that verse. Keep it memorized, just what I said. I want you to turn to Ephesians now, page 1763. Remember how we read that verse? Ephesians 2, we're going to read 19 through 22. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers, but foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, this verse gives us more insight regarding the Holy Spirit dwelling among believers. Now, you notice this verse gives the concept of a whole building, does it not? Joined together, okay? Or believers joined together. The building was joined together as bricks in a building. Believers joined together as the bricks, and then together, plural, we become a temple, harmoniously fitted together, or a dwelling now, in which God lives by His Spirit. Now I want to go back to that verse you just memorized, 1 Corinthians 3:16. We learn that the Holy Spirit dwells among believers, not in them, including all those verses. Now, to understand the scripture when it speaks of the Holy Spirit, we must be careful to see the difference between the Holy Spirit up here, in capitalization, himself, versus the power from the Holy Spirit. There are several verses, especially in the Old Testament, speak of the Holy Spirit filling, coming upon, being poured out. If I understand the scripture correctly, I do not believe we are filled with the manifestations of God. That is the Holy Spirit. God is not poured out, nor we speak of God coming upon another. These verses are figures of speech. For an example, Joe really poured himself into his work. Obviously, Joe did not pour himself. Joe is the cause. The effect is his energies. He shows himself and into his work. All figures of speech are used to enhance the meaning. Joe Port himself is much more emphatic in saying, Joe works hard. Makes a big difference the way that's said. Now let's look at some of these examples showing the power now. We're going to look at the power from the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We know there's a lot of them. Turn to page 346 in the Old Testament. We're going to look at Judges, the 14th chapter, 5th and 6th verse. Page 346. Judges 14, 5 and 6. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now we see here power from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit here is the cause and the put into the effect of Samson here being filled, just as Joe did here, poured himself, but his energies here did the work. So here we have the Holy Spirit's energy, not the Holy Spirit himself, the power from the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe we will have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit once we understand that God does not come upon, nor is he poured out into us, or is he fills us with him. You will remember the Greek word spirit here in pneuma, down at the bottom here. We have in the Old Testament the Greek word, the Hebrew word spirit is rauch. I didn't write it on there. Or complete usage of that, we'd have to go back to the back page of your Bible, page number 9, appendix number 9, page 13. If you will, we'll go back to that appendix number 9 on page 13. We're going to look a little bit about routes. Page 13. Now, when we get this here, we're going to see if you go down to item number 4. I won't read it all here. You can read it when you get home. But it tells us here that it is an invisible power from on high, spoken of as coming upon or being poured out. And that's what happened. I guess I should have told you a minute ago, the verses we just read there in Judges, the 14th chapter here, we see they capitalized S. And it wasn't. It shouldn't have been. It should have been small s. This was a power from the Holy Spirit himself. And it was capitalized and it was inserted here, the, and put the capital S on. Samson received the gift from the Holy Spirit. That was the power, not the Holy Spirit himself. Now, if you go into Exodus, if you want to, page 117, we're going to find Exodus here, the 31st chapter, verses 1 through 5. Page 117. Exodus 31, 1 through 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses and saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning words to the work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them in carving of timber to work all manner of workmanship. Now see here in this particular one, in this particular passage, Bezalel, he was filled by the Spirit, not filled with the Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit were wisdom, his understanding, knowledge, and workmanship here. Now, there are many more examples, but we just to take one more from the Old Testament. If you want to turn to page 380, 380, that's 1 Samuel, 11th chapter. 1 Samuel 11. Verses 5 through 7. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, "What aileth the people that they weep?" And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Spirit of God there, you know, this is a big capitalization. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them from throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of the messenger, saying, "Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Now, this verse here shows that the Spirit was sent from the Holy Spirit, and it simply enabled him here or one to accomplish God's will. In this example here, it was to save his people Israel from total disgrace. Again, we see the Holy Spirit himself did not come upon Saul. It was the Spirit from the Holy Spirit, or it was the power from the Holy Spirit. Again, you will note the translators here interpreted this and capitalized the Spirit of God with a capital S. You, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will have to make your own choice as to know whether he himself lives in the believer, or are they gifts, or are they being filled with the power and the gifts to accomplish God's will. Well, let's look at a few passages in the New Testament regarding the power from the Holy Spirit. If you will, turn to Luke, first chapter, verse 41, and that's page 1432. Luke 1, verses 41, 42. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, capital, and the Z in front of it. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Now again, we see here a figure of speech where the cause is put for the effect. You remember all through the Old Testament, the prophets were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is to say, a gift from the Holy Spirit. Here we see the same effect in the New Testament here, in this particular verse. And then this is one of the verses. This is one of the 52 verses that I told you they wrongly interpreted and put the capital letters there. Let's turn to Acts, second chapter, verses, page 1578. Acts 2:4. I know I'm going too fast for you. You get home, you have to study it yourself. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances there. Now, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, says here. I believe this passage speaks of the power from the Holy Spirit. Once again, we have the figure of speech where the cause is put for the effect. The power from the Holy Spirit was the effect, and the Holy Spirit was the cause. Now note again, the translators here interpret this verse to say these were people filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you get home and read the Companion Bible, I don't deny it, says the same thing. The Companion Bible agrees with the interpreters that this was the true God himself inside of her. And so you might say, why am I disagreeing with the Companion Bible? I'm not here to disagree. I'm just saying I don't quite interpret it the same as they did here. In my humble opinion, these people here were filled, or she was filled here, these people, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Himself was, I want to read this here. If, I didn't say that right, if these people were filled with the Holy Spirit himself, if, that is the correct assumption, the last part of the verse, number 4, is redundant. Read that. If we read it one more time, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, let's say that's him in there, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance there. That's redundant. You don't need that. If the Holy Spirit, he himself is in there, why then would you say they began to speak as the Spirit enabled them? That don't make sense. If the Holy Spirit, he himself is in there, you wouldn't have to wait to get the power from the Holy Spirit to talk. If they were filled with God, they would not be needed, in my opinion, to be enabled by the Spirit. Let's go on. Let's look at page 1875. Page 1870, 1 John. I shouldn't tell you what we're looking for. 1 John, 3rd chapter, 24th verse, page 1875. 1 John 3:24. Be clear to the top of your Bible, or it is mine anyhow. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I know you're sitting there saying, I got trapped this time. Maybe you have. I don't know. Let's read that. Note the capital S on Spirit there. You notice it has a capital S. How are we to know if this S should be capitalized or not? How are we going to know? Well, we need to read this verse very slowly and carefully to get the correct translation. Does the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you a question, I'll read it here, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit. Okay, the question I ask you, does the Holy Spirit abide in us, he himself, by the Spirit? By the Holy Spirit? That makes no sense, does it? That doesn't make sense if you read that correctly as it says here. I believe the verse says is that the Holy Spirit, power from the, abides in us by our new nature we have. That's what that verse to me says. If, as this verse says, the Holy Spirit, not himself, but the power from in us, blessed by our new nature, then it is not the office of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's that it is the new nature. It's either one or the other. Can't be both. Okay. Notice the word dwell here. I'm not going to skip by the word dwell. And he that keepeth his commandments dwell in him. This dwell in this earth. If you are inclined here this morning to think that the word dwell proves that he himself, God himself, the Holy Spirit, took residence inside the believer, you must consider what the rest of that verse says about the believer. What does it say about the believer? And he, that's me, the believer, who keepeth his commandments, dwelleth where? In him. And he in him. Now, he, me, the believer, dwells him. And you think, have you know any believers that took permanent residence or dwelleth inside God? He can't prove that he dwells in you by that particular verse. I don't know any believer that dwells in God, and that's what it said. So you can't use the word dwell to say that the Holy Spirit moved in. All right, I believe this passage or verse is saying that the Holy Spirit testifies with our new nature, with our spirit, which is given to us or given to each believer. I do not believe it says here that he lives in us. Let's go on to another very important passage for us to get the correct meaning and thought. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19, page 1705. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, capitalization, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, the Companion Bible, and it's written here, capital letters, and the Companion Bible points out, if you go to, we won't take time, but if you went to the appendix of number 101, and item number 3 suggests that this teaches us that the Holy Spirit himself lives in us. But then I want you to, if you read, the Companion Bible teaches that, but if you go to the item number 3, it says in that, the last sentence in item 3 tells you this: sometimes the article is to be understood as latent. According to Webster's dictionary, latent means to be hidden, inactive, or dormant. Now, you will remember appendix number 101 that we read in the Companion Bible says that 52 times in the New Testament, the usage of this small letter, Holy Spirit, without a definite article is wrongly rendered. Capitalization with Holy Spirit with capital letter. Now, the Companion Bible lists this verse as one of the 52 incorrectly done. You will remember, without the articles, it is never used of the giver, only of this gift. So how are we to know, as we read, is it latent, is it, or isn't it? Well, is it the Holy Spirit himself, or is it the gifts? Tough sledding, I know it is. How are we to discover that? Well, as always, we only got one recourse. The truth of God's word, we got to find the truth of God's word by the context and by comparing scripture with scripture. You will note that the last part of this verse here says, which is in you. You see that word there? Which is in you. And according to the Companion Bible, that should be from God. Now that makes a different reading. It makes a big difference. What is it that these believers had of God? Did they have God in his office of the Holy Spirit? Or did they have the gifts from the Holy Spirit? Again, the answer here, this question is only found in comparing scripture with scripture. We have several scriptures in the New Testament that read, God will send in the Holy Spirit. There is a big difference between having and sending. Is there not? Those are not the two same words. Let's turn to John 14:26, page 1556. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now see here, we see the Counselor will be sent. Now just go over another page here, John 15:26, page 1559, just over one page. Same thing. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, capitalized, which proceedeth from the Father, ye shall testify of me. So here it appears that these passages tell us that God, in his office of the Holy Spirit, is sent, but not given. There's a difference between being sent and not given. Another passage we should consider is John 14:16, page 1556. Back up just a couple here. John 14:16. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Okay. How here we read that the Holy Ghost Spirit will be with them. Note the Greek word translated with is meta. The Companion Bible in appendix number 104 tells us that meta means among, amid, or accompany with. Now, that's a big difference. To be with is not the same as being in. If the prepositions in this passage mean anything, and I believe they do, in God's Word, they mean a great deal. Then for the Holy Spirit to be with the believer is not the same as the Holy Spirit being in the believer. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19. We already did. I'm just going to have just a little review. We already read it. I want to review it just a little bit. There were no definite articles in that passage that suggested that the individual believer are the temple of the Holy Spirit, he himself. Remember the building program. So he does not live in us, but we've got to go on here a little bit, and we'll see Paul was saying in this particular verse that these Corinthian believers were recipients of the gifts from the Holy Spirit, which made their bodies a temple. That's just a little review of what we had a little bit ago. And they were of the gifts which they were believed or received, from God. And that was what the temple of all the believers meant to be here. I have gone to great lengths and wore you out, I know, to show or illustrate that the traditional belief that the Holy Spirit himself possibly does not dwell or take up residence in each believer, but that he lives among us. If this be the case, what does God do in his infinite grace and wisdom to communicate with the believer? Well, we naturally have to go to the scripture. Let's read John 3:6, page 15, John 3:6. That is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We see that the Holy Spirit himself gives birth to the Spirit. If I understand this verse correctly, we inherit there the flesh from Adam. However, the Spirit, which I believe comes to us straight from the Holy Spirit, at possibly the first breath of life. The next several verses, we will find the Holy Spirit uses our spirit as the avenue to communicate with us. In his infinite grace and wisdom, God gives each believer a gift from the Holy Spirit. And through this gift, God communicates with his own, and we can communicate with him. That is to say, I believe the Holy Spirit is showing us that the gift that the Holy Spirit gives a new believer is the gift of the new nature. Following are a few verses showing us the working of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans 8:23. That's page 1678. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, obviously, in his office of the Holy Spirit, he cannot be a first fruit. I believe the new nature is the first fruit. And you notice the word of here in that verse. It is of the genitive origin. It marks the source from which anything has its origin. In other words, Paul here is saying that we have the first fruits from the Spirit. Now, another very interesting verse is 1 Corinthians 2:14, page 1698. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness with him, unto him, neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, notice here, things, T-H-I-N-G-S, that come the Spirit, is not God, is off the Holy Spirit, that thing. That would be the Holy Spirit sending himself. In this case, it makes more sense to see the man without the nature, the man with the nature, which is from the Holy Spirit. He did not can understand things of God. It's not God himself. Okay, I'd like for us to consider, we're getting close to the end, three verses together. First, turn to 2 Corinthians 1:22, page 1729. We're going to try to read three verses at the same time. I'm lucky to read one, but we're going to try three of them if we can. First, turn to 2 Corinthians 1:22, page 1729. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts? This Greek, what is earnest of the Spirit? This Greek word is only used here and in the next verse we're going to study, and in the third verse we're going to study. Now keep that earnest of the Spirit. Now just go over to 2 Corinthians 5:5. Page 1734. Having trouble. May have to get somebody to get it for me. You only had to go a couple pages. I went several. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, Companion Bible tell us that the Greek word earnest means foretaste or pledge of some future event. So does the phrase earnest of the Spirit refer to God himself in his office of the Holy Spirit? I think not, for two reasons. Both of these two verses we just read said that his earnest was given. His earnest was given. Can God be given? Can God be a pledge or a foretaste? Absolutely not. However, our new nature as a gift from God can be given. And it can be a pledge. Now let's read the last verse that I told you we'd look and consider. Page 1761. We're going to look at Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. This is the third verse. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, we see we are sealed with is in the dative case here, and should be translated by or unto. So we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The context tells us that the promise was of resurrection. And so was the verse of 2 Corinthians 5:5 we read. Therefore, if we put all three of these verses together, and when the Greek word earnest here is used, it would have the following meaning. The Holy Spirit has sealed all believers unto the day of resurrection by giving each of them the new nature. I certainly do not believe that these three verses mean that the Holy Spirit himself was indwelling in us. Now in closing, let's consider just a couple more verses that seem to say, it looks like they say it, that the Holy Spirit himself lives in us. Go back to John 14, 17 this time. Last time we read 16, the 16th verse. This time we're going to read the 17th. John 14, 17. John 14, 17. Here we go. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, the Companion Bible here, on the Greek word para here, translated with, and that we just read, should have been translated beside. And also the Greek word en there, which is translated in your English here, can be translated among. If we do not use, now let's don't use the correct translation. If we do not use the correct translation, read it just like it's there. This verse reads, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and beside us. That's what it says. At the same time. Makes no sense, does it? Can't be in and outside of you at the same time. I believe the verse is saying that the Holy Spirit, capitalization over here, he himself dwells with us, according to the correct Greek there, and shall be among us. Big difference here. Let's look at another and look at page 1811. 2 Timothy, first chapter, page 1811. 2 Timothy, number 1, verses 13 and 14. I guess it would be 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Maybe that's page 1810, isn't it? Yeah. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This is again one of the 52 occurrences that the original text did not have the article. The interpreters here put the article in place and then capitalized the H and S wrongly. Also, the English word here in, coming from the Greek word en, when used with plural, should be rendered among. Here again, we have the gift from the Holy Spirit and not he himself. Now, it won't take a long look at page 1875, 1 John 3, 24. 1 John 3, 24. Clear to the top of your page on page 1875. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, we might have read that a little bit ago, but we'll go over it again. What does the phrase here mean when it says he, which is God, in him mean? What does that mean? He in him. Well, to answer that question, I believe it would be helpful to determine what the phrase, which is he, which is the believer, dwells in him, God, mean. You use one, you got to use the other. Obviously, the believer does not literally live inside God, does he? No. Therefore, the logic dictates that this verse does not tell us that God literally it lives inside the believer. You can't switch in the middle of the stream here. Let's look at another and almost like it. Turn to page 1875, same page, drop down to 13th verse. Same thing. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. Now, it's just about like the one that I just read here. It does not certainly mean that we literally dwelled in God. Therefore, your logic dictates that he doesn't literally dwell in us. Now, look at the last of that verse there, of his spirit. That's the Greek word there was eke, and it means out from. It makes a big difference, doesn't it, when you read that way? So God has given us out from his spirit. What does his spirit mean? Does it mean that his spirit is the Holy Spirit? No, I don't believe so. The Holy Spirit, as we've told you 100 times here, in the uppercase here, means, in the uppercase, is not his spirit. That is he himself. And it's his extreme office here, or person, is not the same as his gifts or power. Well, hopefully, this long discussion, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of all who seek out the truth and find what you can believe yourself. Again, I don't want any of you to blame Erica for picking this song this morning. He lives in our heart. I picked it out. I tricked her here a little bit. It's composed, though, by Alfred Hickey, not the Holy Spirit. Well, in closing, you can see, I believe, there's a strong possibility that the Holy Spirit himself does not literally dwell among us. Pete will have an hour or maybe 2 hours next Sunday to rebuttal of this whole thing. Good to have each one of you. I studied on it. I'm not saying that I have it correctly. I have wondered about it a little bit. I'm quitting here. I'll just ask you a question. As believers, I won't ask any of you to survey yourself, but survey somebody else that you know. Have you ever known a believer, a really born-again believer? Has he ever killed somebody? You ever known a believer that maybe committed adultery and et cetera? You know, I'm trying to think of those things. Is the Holy Spirit, God himself, riding along? Did he subject himself to that? I don't believe that the Holy Spirit living inside of us today is the CEO of our body. Do you think so? We can do anything we want to do. I can do anything, say anything, commit a murder and adultery and anything else. I'm going to pay for it. But if he is living in here and he's the CEO, you know, he ain't the CEO that I used to know. You don't get away with that. I'm just asking the question. That always bothered me. It always bothered me. I don't know whether I got it figured out right or not. I said in the lesson this morning, you got a lot of stuff for you to figure. And if you already got the answer, that's fine with me.